Let's go to Matthew chapter 11. We've been looking at four portraits of our Lord in Matthew, and I've preached on this text before, but not going through the book of Matthew. And I'm going to remind you about some things tonight. He gave us four pictures of four portraits of Jesus in the scriptures. He's the promised Messiah. Secondly, the authoritative judge and the sovereign son. And tonight we'll see he's the gracious master, beginning in Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This passage is often preached as if the believer comes to Christ when he has a problem and things like that. But the main interpretation of this text is Jesus is giving the invitation, come unto me. And then we see some sanctification in some of the other verses here that he gives us. So let's talk tonight about Jesus, the gracious master. You know, one thing that the preacher looks for when he's preaching, or the teacher when they're teaching, is the commands or imperatives in the passage, because that's your points. And the Holy Spirit gives us three imperatives that summarize the invitation by Jesus to come to him and be saved. And so we want to please note three verbs that give us these commands. Number one, if you see on your screen, come unto me. Jesus said in verse 28. Now you got to understand the contrast here. If you do a background study of what's before and what's after, you see he's talking about the scribes and the Pharisees who tried to earn their way to heaven. The Pharisees said, someone said, do, and tried to make the people follow Moses and their man-made traditions. But true salvation is only in a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. He said, what? Come unto me. Here Jesus contrasts himself with the Pharisees. This invitation is open to those who are exhausted and burdened down, trying to work their way to heaven. And this is exactly how the people felt under the yoke of the Pharisaical extremes or legalism, weighted down in sin and legalism. You ought to be glad that you're born when you're born, and you wasn't born in the time of the Pharisees, because they added so many laws to the Mosaic law. It was impossible to do what they put upon the people, and they were weighted down. And that's what this passage is. Jesus said, quit trying to work your way to heaven. You come unto me, right? Matthew chapter 23, verse 23 says this, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought to have you have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides would strain at a gnat and swallow at a camel. Now, they're not going to invite Jesus to their convention of Pharisees to speak, right? Not with that kind of language. And I'm reminded of Acts chapter 15, verse 10. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers were able to bear? Salvation is not by works, but it's by grace through faith in Christ alone. Jesus alone. That's the object of our faith. It's not our church, as good as we love our church. It's not anything else that we can put our salvation in except Jesus Christ. Not confirmation, not a christening, no creed, no clergy, no sacraments or human work, but in Jesus Christ. And many people have misplaced priorities. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we're told also in Titus 3, 5 and 7, not by works of righteousness which you have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by grace, by his grace, we should be made heirs according to eternal life. I'm reminded about, I was reminded about it, but it just went away, okay? but I'll go on. He said, I will give you rest. Notice verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. We do labor and heavy laden, but he in the context here is talking about the scribes and Pharisees who were burdened down with legalism trying to work their way to heaven. And he says, come unto me and I'll give you rest, spiritual rest that comes from the fruitless effort to please God and by the works of the law. Salvation is not by our doing, but his doing. Amen? He did it all on the cross. There's nothing else you add to it, take away. If you do, you're in danger of hellfire. He said, I did it. It's what I've done on the cross, the atonement, me dying for your sins in your place. And he says, come unto me. And people get caught up. And I've seen people under different ministries and different churches and different preachers that are held in bondage. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to please my pastor. I got to do this and I got to do that. And it's almost like ritualistic rules and regulations set up that are not in Scripture. And the people are in bondage, right? And so we come unto him, right? We have a permanent rest in the grace of God. This rest is a gift that is not earned or merited. Galatians 2:16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that you may be justified by faith of Christ, not the works of the law, for by works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And I told you this before. You know why the law can't save you? Because you can't keep the law. Not in the flesh, right? You can strive all you want to. Say, well, I believe I'm going to earn my way to heaven. You don't even know all the commandments in the Old Testament, right? How are you going to obey them? And if you slip up on one, you've damned yourself to hell, right? But Christ kept the law for us, didn't he? And it's through him and his obedience that we go to heaven. In our faith in him. Galatians 2:21 says, Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Again, he's talking with the scribes and the Pharisees. Always keep that in mind. Jesus in the Gospels always has the scribes and the Pharisees in the background. And they would frustrate the grace of God. Why? By rejecting the grace of God because they thought they had to work their way to heaven. So the first imperative that we see in this text is come unto me. Secondly, take my yoke. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Take my yoke. Well, see, when we come to Christ by faith, he gives us a spiritual rest. Right? One day we're going to have an eternal rest when we get to heaven. Not that we're not going to be working and serving, but spiritual rest talks about the peace you have in coming to Christ. He gives us rest. And now we're going to move, once we get saved, come unto me. Then he says, take my yoke. We move from salvation to surrender and obedience and service. You know, really, you've come to Christ, but have you really surrendered to him? Are you obeying him? Is that your heart's desire? Do you desire to serve him and take his yoke and learn? Now, what happens first is peace with God. There's no longer enmity between us and God. The sin barrier has been broken down. The chastisement of his peace was upon him. Our peace was upon him. The Bible says in Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody here tonight is in union with Christ, in fellowship with God, because that barrier of sin has been taken down. You have peace with God. He's not going to punish you in eternal hell. You're going to heaven, right? If you really believe that. I needed an amen right there. I did. I'll keep doing this like a Seminole, right? Do y'all understand what your pastor just said? You have peace with God. You're no longer an enmity with him or an enemy of God. And then after that comes the peace of God. This is our fellowship. We have peace with God. Now we have the peace of God. You know, you always don't live like you have the peace of God. It starts with understanding your peace with God. Then you can walk in fellowship and have the peace of God. Let me share with you Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 8, some of our great passages we love. Be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry about it. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, no, he's not saying the peace with God, you already have that. He's talking to believers and how we come to him when we have a need, right? He says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And the peace of God, people see us who are unbelievers and see us how we have peace and how we walk with him and how we can go through the storm and be calm in the midst of the storm. The world looks at that and it's beyond understanding. They don't understand it because they don't understand spiritual things. It's going to guard our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. And verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. He said, think on these things, the things that are a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any kind of praise, or think on these things. Now I want to ask you, where can you get a mind like that? Through the scriptures, right? Through the scriptures. You're not going to get it by turning on your TV. You're not going to be good at by reading the written news, right? You're not going to get it. You're only going to get it from the Word of God. You understand what I'm saying? The Word of God. The very thing that we many times don't want to read and don't want to absorb, right, and obey. To take a yoke, y'all know what it meant in that day. And that day meant to become a disciple or a believer in Jesus Christ. We're yoked with him in the same yoke, right? We will submit to Christ, we are yoked to him and with him, and we submit to his will as Lord and Savior. It means to be a learner. Take that yoke upon you. Learn of me, right? And we're going in the same direction. I don't know nothing about farming. I know enough to know that I would starve to death if I was the only farmer on this earth, right? But I'm telling you, you can't put a mule and an ox in the same yoke. Can you? Right? You'll have a mess. I mean, you'll have to call Chester or something other, going on there. So we're a good fit. In fact, the word yoke means, he said it's easy there. It means well-fitting. He never puts anything on us that we're not able to bear or that we're not able to obey. Right? He said, my yoke is easy. It's well-fitting. And you just take that yoke, and I believe every yoke that we're in with Christ is tailor-made for our lives and our needs, and the burden of doing his will is not a heavy one, okay? In fact, let me read to you 1 John 5:3. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that beget loveth him also that begotten of him. By this we know we are we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous, okay? They're not too heavy to bear. By the way, we may say, well, there's no way. You talked about the Old Testament, Brother Ken. I know I can't keep the Old Testament. I'm not saved by works. But neither can I keep the New Testament. That's true, right? We cannot. But guess what? There was one who did for you, right? He kept the law for you. He obeyed all the commands. And if you go through the life taking notes in your little notebook, well, I did this, I didn't do this, so therefore I'm lost. So I'm going to do this, but when you check that one, you realize there's something else you didn't do right, right? So he kept the law for us. I mean, I'll preach that to the day I die. We go to heaven by his perfect righteousness that has been imputed to us, right? And so that's what he's talking about here. He said, come unto me, take my yoke. And then he said in verse 29, learn of me. That's the third imperative in our text. Notice what it says in verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That's discipleship. That's sanctification. But you're not going to learn and you're not going to go in the same direction with him unless you have placed yourself in the yoke with him, right? You can't be a long-ranger Christian. You can't go rogue in this thing, right? You have to come into yoke with him. And he says, you shall find rest unto your souls. He says, I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Learn of me. The first two commands represent a time of crisis when we come and yield to him, understanding we're spiritually bankrupt, we're upbound for hell, we're in bondage to our sin. And this last command deals with the process of what's called sanctification. After you're justified, you begin a lifelong process of becoming like Christ. The word sanctified means holy. We're positionally holy, but we're set apart. And we're set apart for the rest of our life to become like Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans 8, what? That he wants to conform us to the image of his Son. And you can't do that if you're not in yoke with him, right? And so he wants to, and ultimately one day we'll be like his Son when we stand in heaven. The last command deals with the process of sanctification. As we learn more about him and of him, we find a deeper peace, and because we trust him more. The best way you can say in the future, I'm going to obey his commands, is by obeying him today in what you know, right? And what you apply to your life, right? And as you go through trials and suffering, he puts these on you, and you go to the Word of God, and you look at the promises of God, and you obey, and then you're able to stretch your faith, and you're ready for the next test, right? That comes your way. And keeping our eyes on him. As we learn about him and of him, we find a deeper peace because we trust him more, right? How do you trust him more? By trusting him yesterday, right? Whatever you went through, we find a deeper peace because we trust him more. Life is simplified and unified around the person of Christ. We make life too complicated as believers, don't we? Just love Jesus, right? Obey him, serve him, right? It all centers around that, right? And you ain't got to go to school to be a theologian. You ain't got to do this. You ain't got to do that. You learn of him through his word here and become more like him. And look at everything in your life through the grid of scripture, right? I had somebody call me today, his kin to me, and ask me if I was going to take the vaccine. And I said, well, I'm not going to tell you because you're going to make fun of me and you won't understand why I don't take the vaccine. He said, well, tell me. And I told him. He said, I respect your opinion on that, right? And, I mean, I'm not here to condemn anybody for taking the vaccine, and I don't want nobody to condemn me for the reasons that I shared with you before, right? And I want to try to do the best I can because I want a small barbecue with my family on July 4th, right, when that time comes. Can you believe that? Yeah. Look at the source, right? I wasn't going to get on our present administration, right? I'm not going to call what everybody else calls it. He's our present administration, right? But keep your eyes on Jesus. Well, by the way, let me stop right there and tell you a praise report. I teach about 20 men at the Y through Zoom or in person at the corporate office. Most of them go to First Baptist or some First Newark. And they have their pastor's permission to be there. Right now, I'm taking them through Daniel. And when you get into the Bible, especially what's happening in our nation, you try to make application to what's happening in our nation. And I really did a lot of that. And when the Bible crosses, when man's law crosses with God's law, I'm going to speak out, right? And one of the men in the group, I don't know if he voted for the present administration or not. I don't know. I have serious doubts that he didn't vote for Trump. Anyway, I can't say too much without giving it away, but he sent me an email that he wished I wouldn't talk about conservatism and biblical truth. I mean, what in the world is he doing at the Y in my class, you know? And you know what? I think he has buyer's remorse. He sent me an email this morning and said, you go ahead and say whatever you want to say. He said, I wasn't a believer at first, but now I see that our hope is not in what's going on now in our nation, right? And so I was encouraged by that. So I can't wait to next Wednesday when I can lamb blast, but here, Jesus, keep your eyes on Jesus. That's what keeps your life in focus on the center of what's going on. with all this that's going on in the world, it's easy to take our eyes off Jesus, right? And why Jesus left us here in the Great Commission. And it's easy to do, but this invitation is for all. It's for, he said, come unto me. He didn't say, the rich come unto me, the poor come unto me. You know, he didn't say, this color come unto me, or that color come unto me. He says, come unto me all, right? And so our invitation is for all, including you today. If you are broken and you're thirsty, you're trying to earn your salvation, you realize you can't, you'll be frustrated your whole life. You know what's really frustrating is someone says, Brother Ken, I know we're saved by grace through faith, but somehow or another I got to maintain something, some kind of works in my life to commit me to God and get God's approval. No, you work because you're saved. It's the Holy Spirit working through your life, not to get approval from God, not to be commended by God, because it's naturally in you that you're saved unto good works, right? And so we can't be working for our salvation. By the way, it's me. I ain't never done nothing. It's the Holy Spirit that's done it through me. So if you may be here tonight, you might be broken, thirsty. Then Jesus said, what? Come unto me, take my yoke, what? And learn of me, right? This is probably one of the greatest invitations in the Bible right here, as it closes out these four portraits of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you, Father, that it can be rightly interpreted if we have the skills to do so and depend upon the Holy Spirit. And Father, that is the invitation tonight, come unto me. I'll never assume, again, that everybody in the building is saved. I do that sometimes, and then, somebody walks the aisle, say they were never saved. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Tired of trying to work for God's approval? Tired of trying to earn your salvation? Come unto him. Yoke with him and learn of him. And you will grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, this is your invitation. We invite to do whatever you want to do in this invitation. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.